What's up, guys? Welcome to the sesh. Today, I got a very special guest. Eddie, it's the first time we met, right?
In person? Actually, yeah, in person, formally. All right,
so let everybody know what you do.
I'm the director of marketing for Domain Development Corporation, and I also do sales and operations for Evergreen Land and Properties, which is a private owner finance company, and I also own a consultancy focused on marketing, construction, real estate, and just different things like that. It's called EAX Consulting, so I'm happy to be here.
Awesome, man. So today we're just going to chat marketing because I was telling you earlier, it's like with the process last year when I was creating the documentary, it took so much time. And then we jumped into a new documentary, which takes so much time away from the thing that I really enjoy doing, which is marketing. So I'm getting back in, not getting back into it because I always did it, but just talking about it again. Gotcha. I think it refreshes me because I get to learn a lot more. So right into the gates, what are three tips that people can use here specifically in the Rio Grande Valley to help market their companies?
Oh man, pay traffic. That's the first thing, bro. Pay traffic is so important. So many people don't utilize it. I feel like the branding game, it works 100%, but it's a long game.
Yeah, it's
slow. So a lot of the problems that I see a lot of even friends and agencies here is that they pitch the branding. And so when the client gets on board, you know, they're on board for 2 months, but it takes so much time and you're doing so much work as let's say a marketer. But the client's like, hey, what's going on? It's like, hey, it's kind of, you know, you have to build the results and paid traffic. It's fucking overnight, bro.
Immediate.
You create an ad right now. You have results by morning or within 2 hours.
That's crazy, so, man.
I know.
Touch on that a little bit more because I wrote an article about content marketing versus the ads. So ads, immediate content marketing, goodwill, long-term.
Yeah.
Touch more on that.
Oh man. So the content game, I see it as an investment, man. Just leave your, you know, like put your, in this case, you're investing time, right? And obviously some business owners are investing money, but don't, I like to tell people, don't expect to see any results from that immediately if you're not supplementing it with paid traffic. They both go hand in hand and they help grow each other. But mainly I feel like people creating content is super important, but you just have to have the paid traffic so you get the different eyeballs and even more people, at least if you're trying to scale faster, right? At least I don't know what the objective might be, but if you do that and you like just keep pushing, even paid ads to your, you know, content, like whatever content strategy you have, and that way you get more eyeballs. Because I have seen a lot of people, I don't know why, a lot of people have toned down their ad spend this year, bro. Like just, I haven't seen very many business owners like running, you know, that much paid traffic. It's a lot of bigger corporations that I've seen. I don't know if I'm just like, my algorithm is off, but
no,
yeah,
you're right, because I've noticed it too. I've noticed that a lot of people have not been spending money on ads, which auction is the way Facebook and Instagram works is through an auction.
Exactly.
So the ads are cheaper and the leads are becoming cheaper.
Which is fine, because for my clients, I'm just doing great. And like domain, we're like, okay, great. But yeah, a lot of people aren't utilizing it. And then also the people that haven't utilized it, I literally create like a small whatever ad, dude, and it gets them like results immediately. She's like, what the fuck? Like, well, how did you
touch,
you
know, on that then, dude? Because I think what a lot of people assume that marketing is advertising. And they're used together.
Right.
But they're different things.
Yes.
So what should somebody have as an ads budget versus a marketing budget? And also are the ads included, the ad spend, is it used within the payment that they give you, or is it the advertising agency creates one price and then the advertising project is another price?
So it's management fee, like flat management fee, and then a ad spend, ad budget. Usually to get realistic like results, man, it's really kind of abstract, right? The budget. So I would say even if you're a super small business owner, you're trying to get started, at least like $250 a week, man, at least to really get results. But also those $250, they're going to go a longer way month two, because what you're doing a lot of month one is figuring out what works, figuring out, you know, which ads you're going to do, you know, create a bunch of ad sets. You're going to change your targeting a lot. And then once you figure out what works month one, then month two, your budget goes a longer way. So then people don't understand that. And sometimes month one will be kind of rocky because you're figuring it out. But see it through. And then month two, you know, come back to your results. What worked? You know, how many leads did we get? Do we get any, you know, how many calls, whatever? What were the results? And then from there, you're like, okay, then it was this audience that worked. Let's narrow it down, you know, change the targeting and optimize for next month.
Yeah.
And then next month, you know, you'll see usually more times than not, you'll see way better results.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. The optimization of the ads is what we're trying to do in the background.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people, obviously, they want those immediate results. Some of them aren't clean. Right. But also, like, that's just how it is. You get more eyeballs funneling down into your little funnel, and you get that clean lead.
Dude, and another thing is, there's another step to it. So data, bro. I mean, obviously, you've heard of a Facebook pixel, right?
Yeah.
So, dude, as you're going month by month, bro, you're seasoning that pixel and optimizing it automatically based off the audience that are clicking, because Facebook's super smart, mm-hmm. right? So then the pixel, the more you season it, bro, also you could take that data, and if you have similar clients, you can take the, you know, export the data, put it into a new lookalike audience on Facebook and just run with it, and your ad cost is way like lower, bro.
Dude, that's why I love marketing for and advertising for companies from around the nation versus like local, bro. Dude, this is so much easier. But another cool thing too is the actual email list and phone numbers and all that stuff, bro. We can import that data and reach those people, create a lookalike audience, and then do the exact same thing. I don't think people really understand just how powerful these ads are, dude. Touch on that, because I've been talking about it for years, and people just don't get it.
I've had that problem also. So simplifying it, I guess it's because, you know, business owners are thinking, whatever gets me results, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to know. Usually they don't want to know about it because they have so much going on, which is fair. But I feel like at least everybody should know about how powerful these social platforms are. It's not just like paying for ads. It's literally an entire structured system that it's like, if you're great at it and if you know what everything does, you're going to do amazing, right? But if you don't, and you're like a business owner trying to do it yourself, you know, and you don't know how to do any marketing or never created content or anything, it's a lot harder, right? So even like, man, I've been also like, just to segue a little bit, I've been thinking of ways to give people like more affordable, I guess,
advertising solutions. Options.
Yeah, dude, because a lot of people can't afford a management fee and ads, you know, especially if they're getting started, or at least they'll pay it for 1 month and they'll be like, hey, let's pause, you know, the next month because you're optimizing the ads and didn't get, you know, it's like a bell curve, if you will.
Yeah, usually the first thing that goes is the marketing and advertising budget. It's all right, guys, but that's probably the most important thing to have.
Yeah, dude. Like so a lot of people do that. They let go of the marketing and advertising budget so they can take care of payroll. And then when the reality of it is, your people that you have on staff weren't even doing their job anyway. Mm-hmm. And so let's say, you know, your ads were directed towards calls. Your office is getting calls and your people aren't, you know, taken care of. So there's a lot of systems in between, you know, the ad and the actual sale or the result that they want. And a lot of people think that it's us, right? Yeah. The advertisers, no, you're fucking me over because there's no results. When reality of it is, bro, when I had my previous marketing agency, had to dive into their whole sales process. We did call tracking, call recording, scripted, like we wrote their entire sales team a script down to the T. It was a pain in the ass. I'll never do it again. But I proved to the business, I was like, your salespeople suck, dude. Yeah. You got to hire another salesperson.
Well, that's the thing, dude. It's very hard. Sales is fucking hard to begin with. Yeah. And it's something that you have to do all the time. So staying on that subject, what are like the top three skills that somebody needs for sales specifically?
Oh man, sales, okay. Enthusiasm is huge, bro. You have to be enthusiastic. If you're not excited about what you're doing or selling, it emits the energy and people aren't gonna be excited either, right? Two, have a structure and kind of know where you're gonna take the person or know what the objective is going into a meeting or a call, right? So it's like, okay, it's like, what do you wanna do? What do you want out of the meeting? Because everybody, when they have meetings, wants something, right? Realistically. So it's like, okay, what's your goal? Identify the goal and figure out what their needs are and how to meet them in the middle sometimes with what you're offering. And sometimes it doesn't always work, right? Sometimes there's people that, you know, don't really need what you're offering. And so don't push either. But like really kind of open the conversation. At least for me, this has worked a lot, dude. Open the conversation based on the other person. Mm-hmm. Try to figure out what the other person needs. Let them talk as much as they can. Gather as much information. And then not use it, but like educate yourself with it and be like, okay, yeah, maybe, you know, this might fit here or this might fit here. And then just offer the solutions, you know? And then from there, the person's gonna be like, hey, well, you know, he listened, you know, or she listened to what I was saying and what my problems were. And two, he has a solution, you know, he offered a solution. So that's pretty much what it is. And then number three would be, dude, honestly, just a lot of people fear sales because of the scenarios that they put in their head, like, oh, what if they, you know, like rejection and all that shit. Yeah. But if, dude, just like doing it and like really just going for it, you're going to get, people are going to say no. People are not going to want what you have to offer all the time. So just do it, you know, run through the numbers. And
I find that that's a really good thing for people that don't know how to sell, because the ones that do know how to sell and can actually back up what they can do are going to be super fucking successful. Exactly. Like I've noticed a lot of marketing companies and advertising companies come up over the years and they've disappeared. It's because they're not consistent.
Exactly.
And they probably, it's one thing to be posting pictures
right.
on social media. It's a different thing to optimize it and put the whole marketing behind exactly. it. So can you kind of touch on that, like how it works for like for where you work now, mm-hmm. what the whole picture of a marketing director takes care of, what they do,
gotcha.
The daily stuff.
So marketing director, like slash, I like to see, I really do see it as like an intrapreneur. I know there's not a lot of these like positions available in, but here's pretty much what it's like. It's taking care of the entire image of the company, all the print assets, all the advertising, all the, you know, video assets, fucking content, bro, fucking posts, and just the entire, everything digital, in regard to graphic design, website, everything, it's all of that, you know, pretty much protecting the company's image and promoting it as much as you can and keeping everything, you know, up to date, which is a pain in the ass as well. Yeah. But like, so then it's like all maintaining the entire boat is one thing, but like, then getting creative on the side, that's super, super difficult, man.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much what it is. The biggest struggle usually in creating anything or like maintaining anything is usually creativity. Mm-hmm. So if you give yourself to, if you're spending too much time in the operations of like, let's say marketing or like nitty gritty stuff, then I feel like you have to find a balance, man, because creativity is what drives you and your business and marketing and your clients forward.
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, that's what I'm struggling with, like making time for the creative, because I know it's there and it's always been there and I can apply it and
you
stuff.
You just don't practice it enough exactly. that it doesn't come to you as exactly. easy as the other stuff. Yeah. It's a very interesting thing, man, because you as a marketer or advertiser creator, mm-hmm. like there's different parts of it. Like there's a technical side and then there's obviously the creativity side. Heck so yeah. Both of those obviously need to be married together to form this amazing thing that you're about to push out.
Exactly.
One thing I wanted to touch on was the optimization of the internet.
Oh man.
And this is, I've been doing this for a long time. Like you can SEO the shit out of everything. Across the internet. And literally. I don't think people really understand this, like from a personal branding mm-hmm. standpoint. And maybe you can touch on this is how you optimize the internet across platforms like YouTube, written articles, video content, kind of touch on that.
Okay. So by optimizing the internet, you kind of have to connect everything, add back to one, you know, source or one objective, being, we've seen it on different places like TikTok, YouTube, Instagram even. I feel like optimizing the internet, it's one, well, obviously before you do that, you got to find, like we said, your objective. And then once you have that objective, make sure you have at least one area where that person can take action based off whatever your objective is and link it back to just that one area and like accomplishing that. So I think in regards to like making it, how do I simplify this, dude? Because there's like
there's a lot of legs to this, man.
Fucking shit, dude. There's a lot of steps and like things that you know that you have to do to really optimize the internet, if you will. Josh, why do you do that?
I like those hard questions because I find it's very interesting that we can do that.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
We can optimize the fucking internet for your name.
Yeah,
like literally. For an entrepreneur that wants to be seen, that wants to be known, like mm-hmm. you can coach them along the way and like this is the things that you do, these are the things that we have to implement to optimize your name or your business name mm-hmm. on the internet, because I don't think people really understand like having your business in the physical world is different than having your business in the digital world.
Exactly.
Like there's two different things, but you have to manage them differently.
Yes, it's, bro.
So touch on that, dude, because I don't think people really understand that their digital image is probably what drives people to their actual business.
Exactly. No, it really is, man. And especially there's an, oh man. Okay. So there's another level, which I do now. It's like, combining the digital and, tangible assets that are on the ground. Dude, okay. But I'll get into it's so sick, dude. It's awesome.
Touch on that, dude.
Okay. So combining digital assets that are on the ground with trackability and scalability and everything. So obviously QR codes are huge, bro. Everybody uses QR codes, right?
But you'd be surprised that nobody uses fucking QR codes, bro. I see all these things. Everyone's like, dude, why would you not lead traffic somewhere.
Dude, I know. Like, you have your sign there. Don't just put your phone number. You're not always going to answer it. Also, give them like a they're going to ask for information anyway, right? So why not simplify it? Give them a QR code, and then you can track how many people scanned it and then pull their data.
This is mind-boggling to me, bro. That people, you can do this with a flyer.
I know, bro. I mean, I do it everywhere now, right? But like, shit, dude, like so many people aren't taking advantage of that. Like going back to this is where it's like going back to the data and optimizing the internet. It's like, dude, your QR code, let's say this is your sales process, for example, as a construction company. You have a sign, you're trying to sell a house, right? People need information on the house. Scan the QR code. Okay, cool. They scan the QR code. They're still interested. They give your name, phone number, and email. Great. Let's say they, you know, in the time being, they're not qualified or they're not, you know, point is they can't grab the house or buy the house, right? Yeah. So in the future, what you do is you put them on a list, and then boom, you can also not only reach out to them directly, which works, but what I would do is I would retarget them for pennies on the dollar on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, because you have a list of data of all of your previously qualified buyers that just didn't buy that one house, but that doesn't mean they won't buy anything else from you. So then from there, you upload that list, boom, 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 and you take care of it, man. All from a let's say they just came from QR codes. Even if it's like 40 people, dude. And then from there, you just boom, boom, boom. And you have one house that you need to sell again, and you can immediately market it to 40 qualified people. You don't even have to pay for like cold traffic anymore, which is way cheaper. And like, dude, it's fucking insane, bro. Yeah, people don't understand it.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like I've noticed, have you ever done the $1 a day ad?
Oh, hell yeah.
Dude. I love those,
it's incredible,
man.
Bro.
People don't get it. It's like,
I know, like, you're not going to get any results with a dollar a day. It's like, you'd be
just
surprised.
Just wait, man. I have one going out for a Comic-Con every single day of the year. Just pixeling and creating that content and going back into their people's, like, I don't think people really understand the power of the ads that are going out. So the data behind it, dude,
it's, oh man, it's cause we nerded out for like a long time, dude. Like I've been doing marketing for, since I was 21.
I'm, oh, you're like 22 now?
No, thanks, bro. I'm 27, man. But yeah, I've been I dabbled into it at 19. Didn't fully understand until like 20. And then 21, I was like, holy shit, I know what I'm doing, right? And gradually been learning over the years. But yeah, dude, marketing is super. There's so many like tiers and levels and like depth to like everything to make everything work. But it's crazy, dude. It's just, and also like, I don't know if you have this problem personally, but like when I had my agency previously, I feel like it's so difficult to handle every single channel. Like let's say it's, whether it's content, graphics, fucking ads, bro, just like shit. And what you know, the problem we're having is, what if we got a client that wanted everything, right? It's like, oh shit, okay, well, one, how do we bill them effectively to where, let's say we outsource some stuff, we still make money, but also, you know, sometimes we would tell them, hey, the first month of ad budget is on us. Mm-hmm. So that as like a selling point.
So you're fronting the ads. Yeah,
exactly.
What's interesting, dude, there was I was listening to Alex Hormozi, who was talking about some dude from Silicon Valley that would front all the ads for political opponents that were like fucking high end, and he'd have to front like $3 million in ads.
Fuck, bro.
Or was it $6 million? And he would make a commission like of $1 million, dude.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like that. Just for fronting the ad dollars.
What?
Insane, bro.
That's. But how? Like, how do you?
He has that money in the bank.
Oh my god,
dude. Crazy. That's like insane, just making bro. Money fast.
That's
dude.
Literally printing money. Yeah,
it's that's crazy,
insane,
dude.
Dude.
But going back to your point, how you house that under one house is, yeah, dude. Like virtual assistants and stuff like that. But I think What I got very good at was being efficient at how I create the content and then scheduling it across the way, because that's really the only way. It's the tedious work that nobody wants to fucking do is what got us to where we are in the first place. Honestly, so people usually stop doing that, and when they stop doing that, they don't get efficient anymore. So it's kind of like out of practice.
Yeah.
So I've been practicing that a lot. I've been waking up fucking early now, dude, just to have. Well, the interesting hack in life that I have, dude, is I wake up at 5:30 now. So about 5:30 to 8, mm-hmm. I'm not being bothered by my phone. I don't have to talk to email. I don't have to talk to anybody, dude. Like, it's the biggest hack because everybody's asleep.
That's true.
nobody bothers you. Like, I think the productivity, and of course, now I use ChatGPT for a ton of stuff, it's amazing, dude. Like, it has increased my productivity during that 1 hour and a half that I'm awake early, dude. Like, it's pushed it so much further. Damn. Talk about ChatGPT, dude, because
I don't want to because I use it a lot, bro.
Dude, I think a lot of people like, these guys aren't. Well, the way I said how I use ChatGPT is it allows me to put the written text in a way that is in my head.
Got it.
But yeah. I don't have the formal education to, right. or structure. The way, structure yeah. to put it out.
Because realistically, the output that ChatGPT gives is just as good as the input that you give it, right?
So, yeah.
I mean, if you don't have the right idea, the right prompt won't be spit out, essentially, right? But ChatGPT is amazing for writing, like, dude, especially with SEO, bro. Oh my God, bro. It's just a machine. It literally is a machine. Like creating small, like short form articles on education, if you just put in bullet points on what you want it to like teach, dude, it'll write a whole article for you.
Dude, it's insane, man.
Yeah, dude. And then it'll like rank your article because it also writes the keywords that you obviously give it, things like that. So it's just insane, bro. I really like writing ads with it as well. And like just different kind of articles.
What are
like
the best compelling offers? Dude, it's crazy, bro. Man. Like, so right now, if a business here locally, let's say a restaurant, were to push out an ad, what would that copy look like to get attention? And what would the picture look like? Or would it be video or something like that?
I think aesthetic things do really well. Like full on, like a 4K photo of some tacos, bro. You're like, holy, where the fuck are they from? You know, like, dude, even myself, right? As far as, let's say, a restaurant, yeah, I think something aesthetic. And promos usually do well. But making it, I usually like things that involve a second person, right? So like not to buy one, get one free necessarily, but like, let's say bring a friend and we'll give you X, right? Because if you're trying to get value, which is for the restaurant, a customer, you have to give some value as well, you know? So I think a promo of some type that adheres to the restaurant where it's still lucrative for them, something like that, but definitely involving a second person and trying to build as much buzz with people as possible, because that's at the end of the day, like, let's say, you go, you know, to the restaurant and you're like, dude, these tacos are great. But I'm like, okay, yeah, man, I'll try them when I get around to it. But let's say you're like, hey, bro, they're having a promo and it's me. Like, let's go grab lunch.
Let's go grab lunch.
Cool, dude. And then you're excited about it. And then I'm like, oh yeah, these are super good. But then we both tell somebody else, one of those other people that we're going to like, you know, tell about tell about the restaurant too, right? My words are all over the place, but they're going to tell somebody else or they might go, at least one of those people goes. So now not only did you touch three people, right? You spent the same amount of money also, yeah. You know?
So, yeah, I think it's interesting too, is that if you get those people in your door, like they're more likely to come back, depending of course on the right, customer service, point, yeah. Which seems to be failing in a lot of places.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Kind of touch on that, dude, because I think what we do as advertisers and marketers is we can only get people to see the eyeballs on the digital thing. When they walk into somewhere, or it's not even a restaurant, to a business, now it's on that person,
yes,
that perceived value is like, yes. We've already given it the perceived value. Now they walk in and they fuck up the sale.
Yeah, dude.
Kind of touch to that.
Oh man, that was the hardest thing to deal with, bro. Because like, we're holding up our end, you know? And the biggest complaint is like, no, the people suck that you're bringing in. It's like, oh, do they, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, you ask me for people, you know, and they're going in for a reason. Let's say it's a restaurant. It's like, what else are they going to buy? They're not going to buy a fucking laptop at your fucking restaurant. Right. So it's like you have one job, and if they, you know, if it doesn't do well or they don't get repeat business, they think it's also our fault.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's like, you can only do so much because one thing I had to start doing was like list building, which was, this is way back when, man, maybe like a few years ago, six years ago. And I was list building. And so to prove to them that like we were holding up our end and there was something wrong with their operations. And I hated doing this because then you're going to lose the client eventually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wrong, right. So, we'd build a list and then I would be like, look, this month we have a list of X hundred people. Right. And, we're only going to market to the list. And this is the goal is to get repeat business. We're going to do insane offers, like irresistible, like free, you know, and bullshit like that to see how good or how many people want to take advantage of what you have to offer. Right. And they said, okay. And so we did a bunch of like fucking like three campaigns a week, right? Of just fucking some of the best like crazy offers that we could think of. And they, a lot of people didn't show up. And I was like, then it's not, the problem isn't marketing. It's the result. People don't want to go to your, you know, because maybe the service sucked or whatever. And they're eventually, didn't want to continue. But we have to like show them like, hey, you need to, if you're going to, it's more for their own good too, bro. Yeah. If they don't fix that, their business is going
to
go under.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think the hardest thing to do is to invest your money in a business, mm-hmm. to hope that it works out. And then you're missing those one little key pieces exactly. that you don't even know about.
Yeah, dude.
Like I worked at Dairy Queen from the age, my dad owned Dairy Queen and Mercedes.
Hell yeah.
I still owns it. From the age of 3 to 30, and that's where I learned customer service. And yeah. I figured like these are all the things that are parts of a restaurant. This is how you talk to the customer. Yeah. Not only are you taking their money, this is the transaction. Like exactly. the thing that they see and they walk into a restaurant, they want stuff fast. Period. For sure. Every single customer. You're never gonna please every single customer. I think that's one of the things that people need to understand is like the customer always isn't right. But you know that's they're paying your bills.
That's so. True, man. That's also true.
And it's hard to say that because I've seen like behind the desk at like Dairy Queen behind the cash register is like fuck, you're wrong, dude. Like you're an idiot. Like yeah, how can you? But at the end of the day, I get it. Like from a business owner's perspective, mm-hmm. like they see it differently than an employee.
That's true.
Like they want that customer service, but sometimes the customer is like, and then the employee, and then you get the wrong people, you hire the wrong people. Man. It's like, it's more of a headache, dude.
Especially now, dude, there's such a shortage of people who want to work that it's like a lot of people are having trouble with that, dude. Even in, you know, construction and, you know, the realm I'm in, but mostly like restaurants, bro.
Yeah.
Restaurants are having so much trouble hiring solid people. And I mean, I've seen people offering like crazy incentives, you know, higher pay, all that stuff, but I have no idea what's going on with the landscape right now in regards to that alone.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting thing, dude. Let's talk about the real estate world real fast before we finish off the podcast. What does that look like right now? I've heard interest rates and all this stuff is crashing. And what does that really look like?
So what I've noticed is people are sitting on a lot of money, bro. People are like, people still want to buy. That's the thing. Now, the question is, since interest rates are higher, people are getting outpriced, right? So they can't buy as much house as they used to. And a lot of times the house that they want and they could still pay for, they just don't qualify for. So a lot of people, the people are still buying a ton of real estate in general. But it's just, the rates are fucking everything
up. It's crazy.
They're and then fucking everything
the banks
up.
That are imploding right now.
Oh,
dude.
My God. I know, bro. I was like, oh, okay.
I saw my Bitcoin go up. I was like, oh. And then it went up the next day again. I was like, oh. And then it went up again. I was like, whoa. Oh, shit. Okay.
It's at 26, I think. Yeah, I checked it right now before we walked in. But yeah, fuck yeah. I have no idea what's going on. I mean, the market kind of did come back, you know, up a little bit today. But yeah, I have no idea what the fuck's going on with the banks, man.
So your age group, 27?
27, yeah.
What do you see with your age group? What are they investing in? What are they doing? What does that landscape look like? Because I'm 41. I don't know any of that fucking world. So. Okay. If I were to market to somebody your age, what would I do?
Oh, man. Lifestyle developments, man. Like, sell the lifestyle. Like, a lot of things that, you know, people my age are buying are like, where the fuck am I going to live? And what's going to be around there? You know? If it's not fucking, like, dope, I don't want to live there, bro. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to spend the money anyway, right? And wherever you're going to live, whether it be a house, apartment, condo, whatever. It's just a lot of people are flocking towards lifestyle developments, which is what we're focused on. Which we'll probably have to do another podcast on because it's going to be. And so we're somebody has to turn McAllen into San Antonio. Yeah. Right? So.
So what does that look like?
Oh, man. How much of this can I give away?
Because I've been into like Mexico City, Monterrey. They have like those micro cities. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Something
more
similar?
So yes. Yes. And so all I'm going to say is think of San Antonio, the Pearl and the Domain in Austin.
Nice. Badass.
Like yeah, dude. Something a little like higher end, a lot nicer. Something that McAllen literally doesn't have, man.
Yeah.
Where you can literally spend the whole day and not get bored and have, you know, yeah. I can't say that much. But
when is this coming out?
We're actually working on it already. It's here badass. On 10th Street. We're doing a bunch of those bars over there. Well, the shopping centers that we own the shopping centers there, and the tenants that are opening are Ambra, Taloa, a bunch of like a rooftop bar, another brewery over there. Just a bunch of new stuff that North McAllen doesn't have, you know?
Yeah.
Especially because people, you know, flock to Nolana, right? Or they'll go to either 17th or what have you, right? And also North McAllen doesn't have a high-end steakhouse. So that's where we're like, oh, shit.
Nice.
And then the guy from Il Forno, he owned Prime, Il Forno Mikuna. He's doing another one, and he's doing Ombra. He's a genius, bro, in the kitchen. Right? He's a great guy, dude. It's going to be super awesome, bro.
Dude, you got to try my butter of the gods, dude.
Dude, yeah. I've been seeing it. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have a heart attack. Fucking Josh.
Well, the thing was, man, last year, when I got into my fitness journey, mm-hmm. I lost a bunch of weight. I got into shape.
I fucking saw. That's insane.
It's crazy, dudes. But I was trying to preach the whole fitness Bible. And I was like, you got to jump in there. I should have known better. Like, you don't tell fucking people what to do. They got to do it when they're ready to do it.
For sure.
But I always had this idea of the butter of the gods that I ran into right before COVID, man. I made it. It was amazing mm-hmm. fucking butter, but you can't buy it anywhere because it's such a tedious process to make it. It uses cured egg yolks, which takes 5 days.
Oh my God.
You have to brine the bones for 2 days. Then you got to smoke the bone marrow, and then you got to create everything together. So it's a huge process.
Holy shit.
So you can find this stuff anywhere. And I made it, mm-hmm. built the website, started getting sales. I found out the one fucking thing why people don't do it. Shipping.
Shop on. Oh, what?
Dude, why? It cost me $25 to ship it through FedEx. Oh, and that's because God. I have an account. It's expensive to ship it.
You have to ship it refrigerated, right?
Yeah.
That's why. Holy shit.
Yeah, dude. So apparently I picked the hardest one.
What's your product? What are you selling your product at?
So I'm still working on the prices. I started at 60, 90, and then 100, which is for 6, 9 and 12, and then it went up to 9, 12, and 16 ounces.
Okay.
But now I have it at 30, 40, and 60. But after yesterday's, I sent it out, cost $25. There's zero profit there.
Oh, man.
So I got to raise it back up so I can just, I'm still working on the numbers, dude. Like, it's all being optimized right now.
It's interesting.
It's interesting, dude, because I optimized the whole website with ChatGPT.
And it worked.
It worked, dude. Holy shit, dude. It's crazy. I've only gotten orders from out of Texas.
What?
Yeah, it's insane. Which is perfect because it helps me figure out the shipping.
Yeah, for sure.
It's awesome.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's crazy,
dude. That's insane. If
I don't have to sell to anybody in the Rio Grande Valley, I'd be a happy man.
Hell yeah, dude. It's like no faces, no complaints, nothing,
dude.
Hell yeah.
All right, dude. Well, before we finish out the podcast, mm-hmm. give one more tip to a business owner here that they can take home and implement today.
In regard to marketing?
Anything. Marketing.
Stay innovative. Like, don't get comfortable with your numbers and your sales going up, like, incrementally. Like, keep innovating and try to find new ways to refresh, refine, and stay creative with your business. You know, that's the only way to scale and grow if that's your objective. But, yeah, stay innovative. A lot of people just, like,
stay stagnant.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck
That's
yeah.
number one thing.
Eddie, I appreciate your time.
No problem, bro.
See you guys next time on the sesh. Peace.
Hell yeah.